our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 15. And we'll read verse 30 to 41. Acts chapter 15, verse 30 to 41. I read, and I'm reading from the ESV. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered a letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Let's return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Let's pray again. Lord, we worship you for who you are, for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, for the moment we have come to, where we desire to hear from your word. Lord, we pray that you speak to us through your word, and let your word go forth with power and authority, and help us not to be only hearers, but to be doers of your word also. Thank you, and we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So we are continuing with our series in the book of Acts. And last Sunday we considered how a letter was to be sent to the Gentile believers. We considered the people who were accompanying Paul and Barnabas to take this letter. And we also saw the contents of this letter. We saw how it is important for believers to be an encouragement to each other. And not to disturb the minds of other believers. We also saw how it is important for believers and even church leaders to seek the guidance and influence of the Holy Spirit. Yes, in their decision making, so that they'll be pleasing to God. Today we are going to consider how the letter was delivered. Yes, to its recipients and at Antioch, and we'll also see the events which came thereafter. So now, first and foremost, let's look at its delivery and the response of the recipients. So its delivery, we see in verse 30. We see that when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. When they were sent off, this means Paul, Barnabas, Judas, and Silas, and probably other people who accompanied them. Yes, some scholars think that even John Mark also accompanied them back to Antioch this time. Because we see later that John Mark goes ahead with Barnabas to the second missionary journey. But this time we see that they go straight to Antioch without stopping on the way like they did when they were going to Jerusalem. It seems they felt the urgency of delivering the letter first and foremost to its recipients. Because the church at Antioch must have been waiting eagerly to know what the apostles and elders had said concerning the teachings of the Judaizers. So we see that having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. Yeah, this congregation seems to have consisted of both the Gentile believers and the Jewish believers. Because although the Gentiles were the ones who were concerned primarily, but even the Jews, the Jewish believers, also needed to hear the stand of the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So first and foremost, the recipients are the church of Antioch who received the letter. But it seems that the other churches in Syria and Sicilia will receive this letter at some other time, not at this point. The custom then, and I think it is the same today, was that those who brought the letter were not the ones who read it. They would give it to the recipients, and in this case probably they gave it to the leaders of the church at Antioch. To read it to the whole congregation. Next we now see the response or the reaction of the recipients. And we see that in verse 31, where we read that when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. So it must have been that the Gentile believers are the ones who rejoiced more, first and foremost. But it is possible that even the Jewish believers, they also rejoiced to receive such a letter. Since they were happy that now the minds of their brethren among the Gentiles were going to be settled. But this letter was of encouragement because first it showed that the elders and apostles at Jerusalem were in agreement with the position of Paul and Barnabas. And it showed this Gentile believer that they did not need to be circumcised for them to be truly saved. Which was of so much encouragement because it enabled them to know that they were truly saved and they did not need any other thing for them to be saved. Since the teachings of the Judaizers had shaken their assurance, this letter made the assurance firm in Jesus Christ. It affirmed to them that To be truly saved is only by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that alone. And that must have been of great encouragement to them indeed. Of course, these Judaizers had troubled them and had made their minds to be so unsettled and their assurance to be shaken. And hearing that their teachings are not true was indeed of encouragement. It is like today, where so many prosperity preachers go about preaching that to be truly saved, God will assure that you are a child of God, you must be living in prosperity and health. And a believer who hears that, especially a new convert, and yet he or she is sickly or living in poverty, may doubt his or her salvation. But such a new convert or believer, when he hears the true preaching that he is truly saved, even when he's poor or is not in good health, it will rejoice his or her heart so much. Yes, to enable him to be encouraged, knowing that he's truly saved, whether he's living in poverty or sickness. But it is always of great encouragement to hear the gospel truly expounded. And if you are truly a believer, as you listen to me, you let testify that you have been always encouraged as you have heard the gospel expounded, and you have heard the teaching about the work of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. And to be sincere, you need to hear this gospel again and again. Yeah, even as Paul Washer says, the gospel is the greatest motivation to holiness. Because it causes believers to resolve to live holy lives for him who died for them. May you seek to hear this gospel again and again, so that you'll be encouraged and you'll be enabled to live a life which will be pleasing in God's sight. Next, we see the events which occurred thereafter. And we see that from verse 32 to 41. But first in 32, we see the ministry of Silas and Judas at Antioch. For we read that, and Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened their brothers with many words. Yes, we have noted again and again in this book that prophets primarily were teachers and preachers of God's word. And as some scholars suggest, that these people were gifted to clearly expound the Old Testament prophecies. Because at this time the New Testament had not been written, the only scriptures which were in place were the Old Testament scriptures. Of course, I believe that God was revealing things to these prophets or teachers for the growth of the converts. And all of this were of great encouragement to the believers. It is possible that their teachings were about how to live the Christian life in the midst of the evil world. Probably they told them how to love each other. And also they told them the apostolic teaching which they had heard from the apostles at Jerusalem. And all this proved to be of a great encouragement and strength to the believers at Antioch. And it is a great blessing for a church to have such faithful preachers like Silas and Judas. Because this is good for the growth of the believers and for the conversion of those who are unconverted. Pray for us that here at RBC will also be of great encouragement and strength always to the believers. And in verse 33 we see that, but verse 33 we read this, and after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. It is not known how long they stayed at Antioch, although some scholars suggest that it may have been 1 year. But whatever time it had been, the church at Antioch probably decided that there was need for Silas and Judas to go back to Jerusalem and continue with their ministry there. It seems they felt the work of Silas and Judas at Antioch had been finished. The version which I'm using here does not have verse 34. It is because the manuscripts from which the ESV and some other versions were translated did not have this particular verse. And those manuscripts are considered as the earlier manuscripts, which scholars say they are the one of the best manuscripts. So it is believed that this verse was a later addition by those who were probably translating or editing what they had got from the other manuscripts. The manuscripts which contain this verse include those from which the KJV and the NKJV were translated. And for example, in NKJV, this verse reads like this. It's, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. It is believed that this was added so as to complete the narrative. Because in verse 33, it seems to suggest that both Silas and Judas went back to Jerusalem, since they had been sent off by the church at Antioch. But later in verse 40, actually, we see that Silas accompanies Paul to his second missionary journey. Which shows that most probably Silas remained and Judas went alone back to, and to Jerusalem. So it is possible that this verse was included, was added to be able to to show this, to complete this narrative. Next, in verse 35, we see the continued ministry of Paul and Barnabas at Antioch, where we read that, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. You remember that these two faithful brothers were the first preachers at Antioch. We see in chapter 11 that when the church at Jerusalem heard how many people at Antioch had turned to the Lord, they sent Barnabas there to preach to them. Barnabas, it is Barnabas whom they sent first to preach to them. And of course, Barnabas also saw the need of getting Paul from Tarsus, where he had gone, to come and help him with the work there as well. And so there we read that they labored together for a full year, and so many people turned to the Lord through their ministry. But we saw that even after their first missionary journey, when they came back to Antioch, they spent some time there still ministering to the people, to the church at Antioch. So Antioch was a significant ministry point for both Paul and Barnabas. And indeed, the church at Antioch was so privileged to have such faithful preachers of the gospel. And it seems the number of preachers was quite many at this time. That's why we read that they did this work with many others also. Yes, it seems the number of believers at Antioch had also become quite high. That's why there was need to have even many preachers. But it is always a blessing indeed for a church to have many preachers of God's word. And even as we see here at RBC, we see the Lord is raising up brothers who are proving to be faithful preachers. And we ought to thank Him for that. Their presence will be of great help to the church, especially as the Lord is adding to our numbers day by day. But in the world today, we hear of so many churches which are struggling to have faithful preachers of God's word. Some churches do not have pastors. May it be our prayer that we'll pray for such congregations that God will raise up preachers and faithful preachers of God's word. And let's pray even for church plants, like our church plant in Takerenge, that God will raise up faithful men who will respond to the growing needs of the congregation there as well. Next, now we see the events which occurred with Paul and Barnabas' plans to go to their second missionary journey. In verse 36, we see that after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord. So after their ministry, after some time of their ministry at Antioch, Paul especially feels the need to visit the churches. It's the churches which they had preached the gospel to, and they had even passed there on their return journey back to Antioch. They had appointed elders to those churches, but still they felt the need to go and see how they were doing, and probably to strengthen them also. And since they had planted and they had watered, they wanted to also go and see the increase which God had put in place there. And probably they also saw this as an opportunity to take the letter to the churches of Syria and Sicilia who had not received it at this point. But Paul especially was so concerned about the believers in various churches and even sometimes in the churches which are not planted or even visited. Yeah, we see especially in his epistles how he was concerned about the Romans, for example, and the Colossians, whom he had not seen and even visited. But still, he wanted to know how they were doing, and even we see, for example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, how he was so concerned about these Colossians when he heard about them, and how he usually thanked God and prayed for them without ceasing. May we copy his example that will be always concerned to know how the brethren are doing, not only in our church, but even in other churches. And that we always keep them in our prayers for their spiritual lives and even for their physical lives. Yes, and even especially in such a difficult time of the pandemic, let's be concerned to know how our brothers and sisters are doing. And most importantly, let's keep them in our prayers daily. In verse 37 and 38, this is what we read. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So still they feel the need of someone accompanying them, probably as their assistant or servant. And here, Barnabas wants Mark, but Paul says no. He feels it is not necessary, or it is not good for Mark to accompany them. The reason why Mark went back to Jerusalem and left Paul and Barnabas with the work at Pamphylia is not clearly known, as we saw even when we looked at Acts 13:13. But this made Paul think that Mark was not a fit companion for them on their second missionary journey. This John Mark was actually a relative of Barnabas, relative, a cousin. That's some, as when you read Colossians 4:10, that's what you see. So it is possible that for Barnabas, he was tempted to just go with Mark because of the natural relationship they had. And for Paul, it was about faithfulness and seriousness to do ministry. And this temptation of favoring our natural relations is there, and we should be careful about it. For example, you see how in the Pentecostal and charismatic churches, how maybe in the church the treasurer will be the pastor's son. Yeah, so it is very possible that even here Barnabas just wanted to take Mark because of the mere fact that he was his relative. Yes, we should try and resist these temptations of wanting to favor our natural relatives just for the sake of that. Well, if they are good to work for with us in ministry, there's no problem, but it should not be just because they are our relatives. And we see what this led to. It did not go well with both these two brothers. As we see in verse 39 and 40, that, and there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Yes, we see that here comes a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. And this word used for disagreement here can mean involvement of anger as well. Yes, but it is understandable that these two brothers, although they were faithful as they were, but they were not perfect. So there was some sin in them. That's why it is possible that they came to such a sharp disagreement between both of them over Mark. So it is very possible that both had to be blamed in one way or another. And because of this sin which remains in us, such that disagreements will always be there among brethren. But what is most important is how they are resolved and how brethren seek reconciliation in case they separate over such disagreements. And even among us, whenever such disagreements come, we should seek for reconciliation. And it is heartwarming how we see that later these brothers actually sought reconciliation, and you see later that they started working together again. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, Paul speaks well of Barnabas. Showing that at that time they're working together again. And also, even he speaks well about Mark, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Where he writes and says, for example, get Mark and bring him with me, for he's very useful for ministry. So this shows that later, in case Mark was not very faithful at this time, which we read about in the book of Acts, later he became very faithful and hence useful to the ministry of Paul. But this disagreement and consequent separation were providentially used by God for the good of the ministry. Actually. For we see that Silas and Paul sailed to Sicilia and Syria, while Barnabas and Mark go to Cyprus. Showing that many churches were reached in a short time, and so it was for the benefit of these churches among the Gentiles. And this is a case like, for example, two elders maybe in a church disagree and separate, and one elder goes and plants a church in a place where there was no church. Of course, it is painful and no one would pray for such a thing to happen, but ultimately it would work out for good. God overrules it and brings good out of it. And God has overruled evil for good in so many times. It is like what we read, for example, in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, where the story of Joseph, where it says, God, Joseph telling his brothers that what for you, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And of course, the greatest of such examples is what we saw earlier in this book about our Lord Jesus Christ. How he was tortured, he suffered in the hands of the Romans and the Jews, but God overruled that for the good of his people so that they will be saved from their sins. That's why we're believers today, because God overruled the evil of all those people who did evil against our Lord for the good of our souls, so that we'll be saved from the terrible malady of sin. So it is possible that a church at Antioch judged that Barnabas was the one in wrong. Because in verse 39, it seems to suggest that Barnabas just went, departed with Mark without the commendation of the church. While in verse 40, we see that but Paul and Silas departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Yeah, so it is very possible that the church saw that Barnabas was really to blame more than Paul in this incident. But in verse 40, so before 41, still in 39, we see that the route which Barnabas and Mark takes is to Cyprus. And Paul and Silas go to Syria and Sicilia. And their work, we see that it was to strengthen the churches. But it is interesting to note that these two now go or pass through their homelands as they go on to the second missionary journey. Because Barnabas was born in Cyprus, while Paul was born in Tarsus, which was located in Sicilia. It is possible that they wanted to go and visit their relatives, because it has been so long a time before they went to their home places. But most importantly is what the mission, their mission was this time. And the mission of strengthening the believers in these churches. The word used for strengthening here means to render more firm. Yes, by this time, these believers should have been strengthened because of the ministry of the newly appointed elders among them. But they still needed the ministry so that they will be rooted and established, as Paul puts it somewhere in his episodes. Especially because of the prevailing false teachings and also the persecutions which would shake their faith. Yes, and believers all over, even today, they need the strengthening again and again. And may the Lord help us that even in this church, we will see to it that the believers are strengthened and rendered more firm again and again. Next Sunday, God willing, we'll see how Paul proceeded with his ministry to other cities which they had visited on their first missionary journey. But Barnabas, this is the end of his, when he's mentioned here in the book of Acts. So from here, we are going to consider only the ministry of Paul to the end of the book. May the Lord help us put his word in practice. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are teaching us so many things as we consider and go through this book of the Acts of the Apostles, how you were with your people and how you saw to it that they labored faithfully through in your vineyard which you had appointed for them. Oh Lord, may this be true of us even today, that we will labor faithfully to see that the ministry goes on, for we still have this commission with us. There's still this work which is not finished. Oh Lord, help us, and help us that we'll be engaged in prayer more and more for each other as we concern to be sure that we are all doing well and growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, continue to be with us during this time of the pandemic when we are not able to meet physically. Let your presence be with us to guide us in whatever we do. Be with us and guide us, O Lord. Let your name be glorified and help us indeed to live holy lives which will be pleasing in your sight. We thank you and we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.